Psalm 104 is the passage of Scripture that we read this morning. Psalm 104. The editors of my King James Version put on the top of this a meditation upon the majesty and providence of God. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, Thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest Thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layest the beams of His chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds His chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh His angels spirits, His ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever, who coveredest it with the deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At Thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of Thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys into the place which Thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth. He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them all shall the fowls of the heavens have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, an herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon, which He hath planted, where the birds make their nests. As for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons. The sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are Thy works! In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom Thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season, that Thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest Thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest Thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth Thy Spirit, they are created. Thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The Lord shall rejoice in His works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of Him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. Let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. In verse 24, we have a beautiful summary. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom thou hast made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. We've often said that when there's a passage that speaks of God as the creator or the maker of heaven and earth, that implies his power. But this verse shows to us the biblical reason for why we may say it also displays his wisdom. Creation displays God's power and his wisdom. And then in verses 14 and 15, he causeth the grass to grow for the cattle and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. We use this passage of the Scriptures to serve as the basis for Lord's Day 50. Lord's Day 50, concerning the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer. Which is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. After three petitions that made our focus go on God, our Father, now this is the first of three that make our attention come to us. We place our petitions subservient to our petitions for Him. For Him first, us second. The second thought that we have for an introduction to the sermon is the fact that, well, why are we to only ask for bread? That's not an uncommon question. And why ask for bread in this kind of an age in which we live, where we have freezers and cupboards? We're not like the Israelites who went out this yesterday morning and got enough manna for yesterday and today, and know that when we go to bed tonight, there's going to be absolutely nothing to eat. We've got all kinds of food, canned, stored up. Why just ask for bread for today in this kind of an age? Two reasons. One, very quickly, so that the millionaire and the homeless both live in the consciousness that they have to look to God for their daily basics, for their daily needs. Make any difference? We all are reminded, just for our body's sake, also, look up. Look up. And the second is because the plural is not give me my daily bread, but give us our daily bread. And there we're made to realize that, again, we're part of a body. the work of salvation and the relationship we call covenant is first and foremost with us individually. We saw that last week. But just as that relationship is between God and each one, so he makes us realize we're not the only ones with whom he has that kind of an intimate relationship. And it's not that we rank each other as better or worse or closer or less close, but that we realize that while he saves us individually, he saves us as a part of a whole. And again, the figure of a house or the figure of the body of Jesus Christ, both figures make us realize we play a role in a whole. And all we have to do is look at the different members of our body and realize we're a part of one beautiful harmony. And so in this prayer, the poor are praying for the rich and the rich for the poor, the employer for the employee and the employee for the employer. Give us this day our daily bread. We take those very words as our theme. We first see that this is a most humble petition. Secondly, the humility of this petition requires a spiritual attitude. And then third, we're going to look at and see the significance of this petition. Where are we going to end? That's what we want to consider in the third point. A humble petition. The humility that's required to pray this properly is in that word bread and in the word daily. Bread. Doesn't say fresh. Doesn't say raisin, wheat, or rye. Just bread. Not just the insides, but also the crusts. Bread. Now, it's obviously a figure of speech, and it's a figure of speech to indicate everything that is necessary to sustain our earthly lives. A figure of speech to refer to everything that's needed to sustain our earthly lives. On a day like today, shelter, clothing, water, food. But what we learn by only asking for bread and not appetizers or desserts and not a different dress than anybody else has, because I could never wear the same one somebody else wears, but just the basic bread is that we learn not to be presumptuous, presume God owes us. He ought to give us. He made us, so he has to be giving something to us. But we're going to learn to depend. To live dependently. Some among us really enjoy cooking and baking. And there can be great delight in that gift. Not to contradict or condemn that gift, but to learn how to use that gift better to God's glory. What this petition, when it takes the word bread and puts that on our lips and in our minds, then Jesus is teaching us that we are not to live in order to eat, but that we are to eat in order to live. And then he adds daily. And by adding that word, again, God takes us away from concerns about tomorrow, and he makes us focus on just today. So many times, there's questions that come up in catechism as we look back at history that the kids will like to know, well, what if? And we've learned to say that there's no answer to what-if-er questions. We don't answer them. We don't know the answer to them. Well, just as we can't look back and alter it and say, what if this would have happened instead of what did, so with regard to the future, we can't look ahead. Right outside my study door in the house, there's a plaque that someone gave us. And it ends with faith looks up, but it also says worry looks ahead. What about the doctor's report that we're scheduled to receive this week? What about the ultrasound? What is going to happen? We got all kinds of things that we can ask ourselves about and make our minds very busy in thinking about and speculating about tomorrow. When Jesus tells us, this is how you pray for today, daily bread, then he cautions us about that worry that would look ahead, and he makes us realize we have to have faith in the care that we have in him who cares for us. And that's really the idea. When we look ahead, we're so often just looking horizontally. We're looking out. This petition makes us look up when it comes to tomorrow's. Our peace of mind and any sense of security that you can lay yourselves down in peace and sleep or sit down and truly relax, throw out a sigh. That kind of security does not come from, well, I've got an abundance of things in the house. I'm ready. I'm all stocked up. We're taken care of. But rather, true peace and security comes from, happy is the man who chooses Israel's God to be his aid. Happy is the man who chooses Israel's God to be his aid. I can trust my Father. And the relationship that he has been pleased to establish with me. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, I've been asked to conduct a funeral. The text that the woman chose was Psalm 116, verse 15. The same one that we heard for Gray Schimmel. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. One of the implications, clear implications, is that if the death of a saint, of God's saint, is precious in his sight, their death is, then their life is as well. And our sense of peace and the assurance and security that we can have is that we're precious. My bodily needs the basic things of this life. He knows. I'm precious in every way, not just my soul. So that I know, Job, that though worms destroy my body, in this flesh, I'm going to see God. Well, if in this flesh, even though worms may eat it, God's going to take every molecule of it and bring it all back together and make a new body, then He's going to care for this body right now too. Regardless of the condition of specific parts, He's going to care. And there's where our security rests. Now, be careful. That does not mean we throw everything away that we've got stored up. It is not a sin. It is not wrong that we have more than today's necessities. But we're not to put our trust in the fact that we have them, but in Him who has given them to us. That's the key. And then secondly, with that, let's not let our attention for tomorrow become a worry so that it diverts our attention from how can I love God today? How can I be assured that right now, right this very moment, His care of me. When my mind goes ahead to tomorrow, I'm not contemplating and being grateful for what He has given to me right now. My mind's over there, not right here. A humble petition. Bread for today. To pray this, obviously, now we've talked about it enough. There's all kinds of spiritual perspectives that we have to have. We selected six parts to a spiritual attitude that's required to pray this petition. And by the way, let's not stop marveling at the fact that He who taught us to pray this for these things this way. By wording our petition this way, we're seeing that it's a very spiritual petition. Very spiritual. It's not just, well, all of a sudden we left the realm of the heavenly and the great and it all about God, and now we really get down to the basics. In fact, sometimes we say, why do we pray for bread before we pray for forgiveness of sins? Well, if you really understand what it is that's necessary to pray for daily bread, it's not just bread, feed my face and take care of my physical body. It's not just that. But the spiritual attitude that's necessary is what's going to help us understand, aha, forgive us our debts. So, what are the spiritual attitudes, the spiritual thoughts that we have to have? First, very simple, already presumed by most of you. Number one, God is God in sovereign control. God's providence is in sovereign control of everything, and we're going to acknowledge that. So, we acknowledge God's sovereign providential control. Read Psalm 104 all over again. He gives grass to the cattle. He brings darkness, and the animals go forth for their food. The young lions roar. The moon is given for seasons. Every drop of water, He brings the water up, and He brings the water down. And He waters the hills. God does it all. We have to be careful. I know we don't mean it that way, but sometimes we say it rains or it's snowing. we talk about it. Psalm 104 won't let us say it that way. No, you may keep using that word it. But maybe you might want to change. You certainly want to be thinking differently than it. He, God, is in control of it all. Number two, we are expressing in this petition our conscious dependence upon Him. Covered that already in many ways. But what we're doing is we're learning to receive whatever we have and whatever we are from Him. Once again, all that I am and all that I have, I owe to Thee. Everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. I cannot take pride in how I'm dressed, in the clothes that I'm given to wear. He gave them. I cannot take pride in ability to give a correct answer or to earn so much money or to have this kind of a job. I cannot take credit for anything. It is all a gift. I live consciously in dependence upon Him. The visit of Elijah to that widow of Zarephath. All I have is a little bit for me and my son, and then we're going to die. We're going to eat it and die. Well, make for me first. So every day she takes that cruse of oil and she's shaking it to get one more drop out of it. And she goes to that little bag with flour or whatever it was, and it's gone. It's empty. She sets them on the shelves and goes about. And tomorrow, there's just that same tiny little bit to make enough for three people to live from one day to the next. Conscious dependence. A part of that is this. How many people are living on the earth? And how many creatures? Read Psalm 104. Every single one of them, He is providing them for their... And yet, every one of us has the courage, because we know of the relationship that He's established, to be able to say, though there's all kinds of, there's billions that God is taking care of, me too, Father. Third, God, sovereign control, now we switch and we become conscious of our childlike trust and confidence in that God who is our Father. Just this past week, again, in an experience with someone, we got to be careful. You may call God Father. If you cannot call Him Father, you are robbed of all kinds of assurance, of all confidence, of all assurance. That God who creates and sustains all of His creation is our Father. And with Him as our Father, that familiar hymn, we know whose is tomorrow. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, said, would you look at the birds? And would you look at the lilies? The flowers have more glory than Solomon had all the money that he had in his kingdom. but one tiny little flower. And sometimes you get high in elevations in the summer and you get on the mountains and you take a picture. And my dad would have to put a coin, a dime next to it when he took a picture so you could see that tiny little flower up there that only God would see. But he made it as a part of his wonderful creation. And he declares, I didn't just make it, I care for it. And if I care for the birds and the flowers, how much more will I care for my children? My children. People may treat us as if we're worthless. God says, precious to me. Even when you die, that's precious to him. If dying of his saints is precious, so all our life. That God is your Father. Put your confidence in him. Fourth, the spiritual attitude required is one of being content. Content with only bread and only for today. And we learn that we have to make the earthly subservient to the spiritual and to the heavenly. Yes, we're on a journey. Communicated that this past week again with a grandchild. The basketball teams played against a Christian school. And the nickname for that Christian school was Pilgrims. Pilgrims and strangers, he said. Right, you got it. We're pilgrims. This isn't home. It's all we may know, but this is not home. We got a home. It's coming. He's making it, and he's preparing us for it. So as we walk and as we go, we may not have what other people have. And they may have it better. We may wish we had it. Wait a minute. This is what God is saying to us. Now, this is what I gave you. Be content. And thank me for it. Because if you're not content with what you have, you can't thank me. You're upset with me because I didn't give you what they have. Be content. If in my wisdom I have made everything and all of creation displays the wisdom of him who made it all. Don't challenge that wisdom that gave you less or not quite as nice as or even the worst in comparison to others. And thank him. Fifth, when we ask God for bread for today, we're asking. We're not demanding. I need bread today. I may want more, but I'm going to forget that. I need bread today. You better give it, Lord. And God answers and says, you demanding that of me or asking? And so there are times when the lot of God's people, not will be when the great persecution, when we've got to have a mark in order to buy and sell, But there's other times in the lives of God's people when it was God's will that He not give us daily bread. We would be without it. And we learn that we are to ask for daily bread if it's His will that He give it. Again, we ask humbly in the spirit of a very pious request and not a demand. And finally this petition requires of us that we walk in God's way to obtain that bread. The children of Israel, manna came from the sky, or out of the earth. He brought it. He gave them manna every morning. How does He give us our bread? Well, the same way that He gave Adam. And so early in my ministry here, we had 6 or 7 sermons on work. Work. It is God's will that we work in order to eat. We work in order to eat. And now notice, the sun riseth, the animals gather themselves together and they go to their den. But what does man do? Look at verse 23. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. So while we pray this petition, we don't sit on our butts and fold our hands and go out and just do our play. No, we get off, we get up, and we don't say, "Ooh, there's a lion in the streets, so I don't dare go out." No, we get to work. We work hard. God gave us, even without sin, God gave the command to Adam to subdue the earth, have dominion over it, but subdue it. He put Adam in the garden to dress it and to keep it. And when man fell, then God said, now that situation is going to be aggravated. It does not mean don't work anymore. You have to work. And so powerful is that, then you get the familiar expression out of 2 Thessalonians 3. If a man doesn't work, then don't feed him. He doesn't eat. He has to learn that God's way is working. So Ephesians 4 speaks of God's command to those who are just newly converted. And He says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands in the thing which is good that he may have. Isn't that interesting? Working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. You have for your daily needs and to give. You have in order to give. Not have for me. It's not me. It's have in order to give. No one may say, all I can do is take care of myself. God says, I'm going to put those who are poorer than you among you, so that you may learn to give. And I'm going to put all of my other causes there, so that this is how you work. You work and you give first to me. They came into the land of Canaan, and God said, all the benefits and fruits and the loot of Jericho goes to the Lord. And Achan found out, and all of Israel with him, that was the way they had to treat it. The first fruits are to be given. We work in order to eat and to give. All this brings us to the third point, and we've titled that A Very Wonderful Significance. The Catechism words it this way, that we withdraw our trust from creatures. You know the creature that we have to withdraw our trust from the most? ourselves, our abilities. I'm going to do it. I just got to grit harder, or I've got to work harder. It doesn't mean we don't work. Maybe we have to work harder. But our trust is in Him, so we pray. Two little babies born this week. You just look at them and you can't help but love them. Your emotions are drawn to them. That are helpless. Mothers think they're cute. Dads too. But we got to pray. Because it's not just their safety and delivery and their apparent health now. It's their home. It's their hearts. So here, we work. But we're never going to work without praying. And we don't pray without working. To recover from illness, from weakness physically, to recover from weakness psychologically or mentally, it requires tremendous effort and prayer. Not just the effort, but prayer. Always prayer. Why? Why? Because prayer makes me look up. Prayer makes me see our Father. Not put our confidence in princes or for help on man depend. They shall die. But happy is the man who chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He is blessed whose hope of blessing. You hope for blessing? Your hope of blessing will be satisfied when it's on and stayed. It's fixed. On your Father in heaven. But then this, with it, it brings us to the awareness that we are a part of a body, not ever by ourselves. God provides us with bread sometimes by having us receive it gratefully from other members of the body. God deliberately distributes unequally. He deliberately distributes unequally. That's one way to say it. Maybe a better way to say it is to look at yourself in a mirror and think of all the different parts that you can see of the physical body, but also remember all the different parts internally that are invisible to you. And realize that they're all different deliberately. God makes every part of the body purposefully different from each other. And we need each other. It's not going to work to cut a piece off and set it aside and say, now survive. And it's not that that part will not survive. But it's also this, the rest of the body needs that tiny part. Look at some among us from whom the Lord has taken a portion of a finger. Now they learned to adapt, but it wasn't without pain, and it isn't without conscious effort. We need each other. We walk together. So what He gives is so that we don't take it just to ourselves, but that we're conscious of the other members. And with that, He teaches us to be content so that we use the much, thinking of our gratitude to Him and sharing. And we use the little to be content and not to dispute His goodness or His wisdom. Trust your Father. He cares. He cares about the death of your body. He cares about every part of your body. Treat it as His gift. Trust Him. Amen. Our Father, we thank Thee. Powerfully Thou hast reminded us and taught us again. And we relearn things we already know, but now brought to us in a fresher way. Thanks, Lord, for Thy care. Give us to know Thee. Give us to appreciate how much Thou art our God and our Father. To Thee be the praise, honor, and glory, so that we say, bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.